Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
And just take some time to share a little bit about divine healing. And that was the message for today, to come and speak about it. And then, of course, you know, we don't hook up on that about what's being sung. And it's going to be short, but it's going to be to the point. And I believe that God's wanting to free many of us, just like what Betsy was sharing. When we prayed for Travez last Sunday evening and warred on his behalf and for many others, there was a word that was really coming to me strong, and it was just, the giant in front of you is never bigger than the God who lives within you. And that was like, I think it was for everybody. I know that it was for Travez, and it was for all of us to know that God is much bigger than anything that we're facing. And no matter what the trial, it could be something simple, it could be a physical problem, whatever it may be, financial, that God is more than enough, and we have to come into that place where it's well, so that with our soul, that we trust in Him above everything. And so today, I just want to touch on that. I'm going to be speaking out of Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28, and just a couple things I'm going to share before I dive into that, and that's this, is that God has always had an everlasting covenant of healing with His people. He spoke about it in the Old Testament. He said, if you would follow after me and my commands, that you would not suffer the diseases that the Egyptians are going through. And it started even back then, and it's now, even today, that covenant is still very much alive. It's unchangeable. It's eternal. And that was Jesus' mission. Part of His mission was to fulfill, was to bring healing. Said everywhere that He went, that healing took place. And when He sent out the 12, He sent them out with healing. He sent out 70 more and then 83 more. And He sent them out with the power of the kingdom to lay hands on the sick and people would be healed. And I read about that and I think about how they were sent. They were sent with, they weren't sent like, hey, I'm gonna give you $10,000 to help you on your journey and I'm going to send you out. No, He said, I'm sending you out with nothing but with everything. And everything was the power of the Holy Spirit living within them. And so maybe that's how we might become a little bit in the place where we don't see as much healing and divine healing, because we have a tendency to depend on so much more and other things than we do completely and absolutely upon Him. And so I felt like God was speaking that a little bit to me, saying, you know what, we need to be in that place where, can we sell everything we have and go and follow Him? Can I be in that place as a people that we depend upon Him? His disciples went out with the power of healing. And every man and woman in this room right here and across the globe that call upon Jesus, that are saved and born again, they have the power to be able to lay hands on the sick. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe it is, he talks about the gifts. And you know, every pastor probably has said this, or people have said this, you know, don't seek the gifts, seek the giver of the gifts. Well, that might be right in some sense, but I have to say that I was a little wrong on that, because God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to earnestly seek the gifts of God. And so I think the reason we got off on that, because people got pumped up and prideful about their gifts. Well, God says today, He says, you need to seek the gifts earnestly. You need to know that you can walk in this in the fullness of it. And so I want to encourage you today to do that in this journey. Jehovah Rapha means the Lord that healeth. That's in Exodus 15:26. So I pray that each and every one of us would be able to stand in that authority and press into healing, and know that we don't stand powerless in the presence of God. Man becomes the habitation of God through His Spirit. And now I want you to move over to this scripture that I've been just gazing on and praying and asking the Holy Spirit to lead. And this scripture has always puzzled me. I'm going to read it all the way through, and then we're going to go back and we're going to break it down just a little bit, and then we're going to open up the altar again for prayer and for healing. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And this is the scripture that really always kind of messed with me a little bit, because I just don't see it. I didn't understand it in the character of Jesus. And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. Let me break this down. Jesus went away from there and he withdrew. And finally, this Canaanite woman, this Gentile woman. And at that time, the Gentiles were really looked down upon. And the Gentiles and Jews, even some today, they didn't get along at all. And so it was really odd that this woman would break in and begin to press into Jesus. But she knew that he was a healer. And her heart was moving her with passion. She knew that, "I'm going to get a piece of this action. I'm going to press in, for this is the healer." So a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out. She almost made a spectacle of herself, saying, "Have mercy on me." And then she uses a Jewish term. A Gentile uses a Jewish term. She says, "Son of David." And that probably got everyone's attention, especially the disciples. Who does she think that she is? "Son of David, my daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her. He did not answer her. I'm sure by the disciples, I know by my first reading of this, when he did not answer her, it felt like rejection. Let me help you in this as we look at it. Jesus, he already knows he's going to heal her. He knows it. But he lets this play out for her benefit and for the disciples' benefit and everyone that was looking. He lets it play out. So he doesn't say anything. I think about sometimes when we don't hear an answer right away from God, or God's silent in our midst, and we're thinking, "Man, come on. I need to hear something." And there's nothing. Many times in our soul, when that begins to happen, we can begin to feel that rejection and feel that hurt. Like, why isn't God answering me? And if we're not a people that desire to live by the Spirit, definitely our soul is going to take over. And we're going to begin to back away from God, because he's not saying anything to us. I know that we've all been there and wondered what's going on. But this woman, this Gentile, this Canaanite, there was something burning inside of her that she was going to keep pressing in. And Jesus knew it. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." Think of this. The disciples see that Jesus isn't responding. So they want to get on Jesus' team. And so they're just jumping right on board and saying, "Send her away." Like, I know that's what you're feeling, Jesus. And that's not what Jesus is feeling at all. Get rid of her. She's really bothering us. God wants great compassion from our hearts in this season and in the seasons that are in front of us, that we don't so easily push people away when they need to come and know Christ. And they need to know the compassion and the love of God. We were talking about wind today. And as we were singing about it, I was thinking, no matter how little the wind is, set your sail in the wind of God. Set your little sail in the wind of God right now. And if you can begin to sail in the movement of God's heart, with your heart, and you catch a little wind. He says, don't ever despise the beginning of small things. You catch a little wind, it's not going to be long till you're going to catch a huge wind, and you're going to be able to soar and do the things God's called you to do. But catch the little wind. Set your sail to catch it. I believe that's who she was. She set her sail to catch it. She wanted part of the action. She wanted to know, could he heal her? The disciples, they get on board. Verse 24. But he answered, and he said this, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That is a true statement. He was sent to all of us, but he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel, the Jews, to awaken them. And in the midst of that, all of us would be awakened. And he knew that. And so that statement is true. He's stating it true. And he's saying it right in front of everyone. Which also brings about his amazing compassion to touch her. And to touch the daughter. Sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came. Look at this. But she came and began to bow down. What did she do? She began to worship. She began to worship. She began to worship. She bowed down before him, acknowledged who he was. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me, Lord. And he answered. And this was the verse that messed with me for years. I was like, how could he say that? It is not good, but understand when he says it, he knows he's going to heal her. And he knows, anyway, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she said, yes, Lord, acknowledged him again, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Back to verse 26. The children's bread, our daily bread is to walk in divine healing. Our daily bread is to walk in the faith that God has for us. Our daily bread is to depend upon Him, to trust Him, and know He's the healer. And the term dogs, back then, you got to understand, the Gentiles were hugely heathens, pagans. They wanted nothing to do with a God. As a matter of fact, it's even spoken of them that they were like animals, animalistic in their ways. They had no God. They didn't want anything. So that term then was widely used because they never chose at all. Matter of fact, I don't have time to go over the things that they walked in. But it was horrific. And that's why he said what he said. But she said, yes, Lord. But even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then verse 28. Then Jesus said to her. And I can imagine. I mean, I try to imagine. I was, you know, do that one of those. Try to imagine how it's all playing out. I don't know if you guys do that. I do that. And I sit there and go, okay, there's the disciples. What was this like? What did it look like? So You can imagine the disciples are just waiting and hanging on every word that Jesus is about to say. The woman is looking, all the people are around, and they're looking right at Jesus. And I can imagine that he said this, "Oh woman," pause, big pause, "Oh woman, your faith is great," pause, "it shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. That had to just massively blow everybody away. The disciples had to be sitting there going, "What? Why?" And their pride and their pompous ways all of a sudden just shattered. Just shattered. It's all about Jesus. And Jesus brought forth this truth. I'm going to run through this real quick, and then we're going to go back into that psalm. Number one, in the process, and this happens to us, and that's why today, if you're feeling any of this, I want you to reach out to Jesus. I want you to let him heal you. I want you to let him start healing your areas of your emotions that maybe you felt rejected. Why am I not healed yet? Why hasn't my son or daughter been healed yet? Number one, in the process, he seems to reject her by his silence. Number two, now it seems he rejects her by his answer. But remember, he knows he's going to heal her. But this is the thing that she did, and this is what we have to do. Every one of us, we have to keep coming. We have to keep worshiping. We have to keep praying. We have to keep crying out and saying, yes, that's not a sign of a lack of faith. That's a tenacious faith that won't give in and won't stop and will stand its ground and keep praying and keep believing. It's not done through any kind of formula. It's done through a heart that begins to boil over with passion because it desires to see the will of God be accomplished in someone's life. This woman that we're talking, this Canaanite woman, Jesus was stirring her and letting her come to a place in a process that all of a sudden her heart would begin to boil over. And it didn't matter what anyone said, including the King of Glory. She didn't let that stop her faith, and her passion boiled over. And Jesus was knowing that that was going to happen, and he let it come to that place where it happened. And then he spoke to her about her faith. Some of us need to boil over. Some of us need to keep pressing in and believing. That's the third, number three. Before I say that, don't interpret silence as no. Okay? Just don't do it. It might be, but don't just say, okay, it's no. God has a process he's taking you through. He wanted her to have a full bowl of passion and desire. You know what he wanted her to do? He wanted her to be awakened like she's never been awakened before. And I guarantee you, I don't care how you feel about your life or where you've missed it or how old, how young, God wants you to be awakened. And those passions, he wants them to be front and center with humility and love. And that's what this was about. Some get bitter, some get cynical. But Jesus takes it up a notch. Jesus puts healing right into the hands of this woman. There's another thing I want to correct. Many times we say, just don't be reaching out for what he has to give you. Just don't be reaching out for God's hand. Be one who seeks his face, not his hand. Well, let me just say something to you. I think we need to be ready to receive from his hand. And I think we need to understand that his hand is not too far from his face. And we need to understand that even today. We don't want to end up always asking from the hand. We want to behold him, right? Isaiah 42. We want to behold him and behold his face. But it's okay to take from his hand. It really is. Why don't you stand? So in this little moment, in this little lesson of talking about divine healing, I wanted us to focus on that scripture and focus on that lady. Because I felt like there were many people in here today that are struggling in a similar way, that may have felt rejection in that from, thank you, from the Lord, or saying, why? Why hasn't it happened yet? God is working something in the one you're praying for, and he's trying to work something in you. The report that I got about Trevez was that the next day he just felt so alive and felt so good. And that was awesome.
Amen.
He had a day of huge grace. But we still got to press in. Symptoms are still there. Little Ada, Roger told me this morning that she was doing good. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, she began to just have so much pain. And see, this is what it's doing in that family. She had a hole in her heart the size of a nickel, and they repaired it. The doctors repaired it. And Roger told me this morning that he grabbed her last night, and all of a sudden he started speaking over her about her destiny and who she was and all that she was going to do.
Amen.
And Roger said, because, you know, he said it wasn't really, you know, he wants to do that more, but he said it was just a moment of God. And he says, when I did that, she was squirming in all this pain. And as soon as I started doing that, he said she stopped and looked at me. And until I finished speaking into her destiny and her life, she didn't take her eyes off of me. And she said, he said that little girl started smiling when he was done. Okay? Let me share something with you. I think Ada is a sign for us all.
Amen.
That somehow in the midst of all that little gal goes through, she can still smile. God wants more than anything for us to be free. God wants you to be free from anything you're holding, because God didn't come through with you for you. Maybe you're just in the waiting. Maybe it's time for to give everything to him. Maybe it's time that your heart just even boils up more with passion. Everyone in this room would be probably in agreement to say every trial, once you look back at it, definitely brought you closer to Jesus. We need to be so close to him each and every day, because there's a big wind coming to catch our sail. And the giant that's standing in front of us or in front of you is not bigger than Jesus that's within you. You hold on to that. And you proclaim that every time the enemy tells you that you're nothing. So we're going to sing. We're going to sing this song again. And if you feel like you need to come up just during that time to the altar here and to be prayed for, all the pastors and healing team, anybody just prophetic, come on up and we'll pray for you. But let's just worship again, because I wanted to stop the whole service. I mean, right when they were singing that, I mean, I was just like, let's just go down on the floor and scream or quail or whatever. But God wanted you to hear that word too, and he wants you to come closer to him. So Betsy's going to lead us in that song again, her and Michael.
The grand earth has quaked before,
yes.
by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, through it all, it is well. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well.
Pressing in prayer.
Oh, it is well. With my soul.
The power of persistence. Keep pressing.
Oh, it is well.
We're going to stay in the presence of the Lord and go back to worshiping. This morning, as I was praying, the Lord started speaking to me about him and said that he's going to come up and share things of his heart, and he's going to teach the word. I've never had that about him at all. And then just a minute ago, he said, I got something from the scripture I want to share and teach. And this has never happened. So this is God orchestrating. So listen.
Early during worship, I was led to the passage where we were implored to ask, to seek, and to knock. And Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And those verbs are never ending. It's keep asking, keep asking, seek and keep seeking. But then it goes from there. Everyone who asks receives. And that word receives is lambano. And I felt I was to give a demonstration of what lambano really means. Does anybody today need $50? Here is $50. Stop. When was it given? When she acknowledged she needed $50. When did she receive it? When she came and literally took it from my extended hand. The Lord says, I'm extending so many things to you, and you keep asking, and you keep asking, and you keep asking, but you never get out of your seat. The Lord says, get out of your seat and come take from the loving hand of the Father that's extending it.